The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome, Philly, to your favorite sports
Babes
show.
On Bra.
Hosted by Jesse Town and Sam Wilson. They're smart. They're sexy, and they're all Philly. So thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome into episode number 62 of Babes on Broad. I'm Sam Wilson with my co-host Jesse Town, and we're the Babes on Broad, brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. It's been a long time, but just in case you need a refresher, don't forget to follow us on all the socials at Babes on Broad. You can follow me personally at SamWills18 and then Jess at RunThisTown13 on Twitter and at Jessica_Town with an E on Instagram. So it's been a while since we've done that. I feel like you might need it. It's also been a while since you've heard from us.
The Eagles
it's
were
been
dead.
A while since you heard from us. Yes. We needed that break that just kind of cleansed our palate. And you know, night one, I was feeling it. I was like, this is what I needed. I am pumped for this. We got our guy, Devontae Smith. You love it. And I was feeling good after night one, let me tell you.
All of my anger, all of my stress was out the window. You're absolutely right. I needed to decompress after this season. There was just, the team was so bad. There was so much drama. There was so much BS, for lack of a better term, just surrounding everything with the Eagles. And I really did just need to like not think about football. And I don't remember who it was. I think it was, they were talking about Trevor Lawrence and, you know, what Urban Meyer used to do at Ohio State, like rolling Dwayne Haskins out of the pocket. And I was sitting there and I was like, wow, I haven't thought about a quarterback rolling out of the pocket in months. And it was the cleanse that I needed. I was like, I haven't screamed about this for so long. And you're absolutely right. Like I was, even before the Eagles made the trade up, like even before any of that, I was like, all right, like I'm kind of into this. I'm feeling good. I'm back to football. Like I love this. And then, you know, credit where it's due, Howie read the situation perfectly. Trading back and he read it perfectly a couple weeks ago when he actually made the trade, you know, kind of had a feel on what the Broncos were going to do. And once Patrick Surtain was out of there, I mean, it really, he didn't need to be at six. It really cleared the way for what he wanted to do. And, you know, for anyone saying that he didn't need to move back up, he absolutely did, because the Giants were 100% about to take Devontae Smith there.
Yes. I think that was the most impressive move, because he made the deal with the devil to say, I mean, because it was with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
He got the Cowboys to help us out, you know?
Which is, I mean, and the reaction from that Giants fan is priceless, because, I mean, think about being in that situation if, you know, the Giants or the Washington make the trade with the Cowboys to jump in front of us. Oh, my God. I would be losing my freaking mind. So I'm so sorry to that guy. And it was funny. One of Joe's roommates from college sent me a text after and was like, I'm so pissed that you guys got Devontae Smith. And I was like, I would like to say I'm sorry. I'm not sorry
at all. We stole the division from them. Well, not stole, but we made sure they didn't get the division last year. And then we came in and we took their guy.
Literally
Heisman Trophy winner.
Took a playoff game right out from under him for no reason. And then traded that pick away that we bombed that game to get. And then jumped back up in front. Priceless. That was a classic Howie move. That was pretty funny.
It was a good one.
And
we'll like to see that.
I said, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to talk bad about him for at least 24 hours. And then day two happened and he's dead to me again.
And it was probably 23 hours. And then
about that, you know, I tried very hard. He absolutely deserved credit for reading that situation perfectly.
Yes. Day one, he did very good.
100%.
Very well.
Then we move into day two. So this is our day two recap episode for Bleeding Green Nation. Now, the Eagles were supposed to have a second and 2/3, but they traded one of those thirds to Dallas in order to get that pick. So had two picks last night. They started by drafting. So they had 6th pick in the second round. You and I had talked about it previously. We really wanted them to address this defense and not mm-hmm. the defensive line.
The secondary.
The linebackers, we don't have NFL linebackers. Do we even have anybody on the secondary other than Darius Slay? Is your plan Michael Jacquet? Because it shouldn't be. You know, there were a lot of really good options there at, what was it, 37 they were sitting?
Yeah, it was 37.
There were a lot of good options. And actually, as I'm watching the draft and as I'm listening, I'm like, okay, there were a couple. So actually, you know, one of the guys that I had my eye on was the corner from Georgia that went to Jacksonville in the first pick of the second round. And I was like, okay. But I also, the two guys that I really had my eye on were Asante Samuel Jr. And the linebacker from Notre Dame. Either one of those, I would have been happy. Addressing the linebacker position or the corner position in the second round, I thought was an absolute must. They didn't, shockingly. They drafted Landon Dickerson, a center out of Alabama, which upside we talked about. Great. Can play multiple positions. I mean,
healthy, he's the best guard in this whole draft, they said. And he's so versatile. So, like, when you look at that and they say he should have been in the top 10, 15 picks if he was healthy. It's huge, but the big if, that is a huge if, especially in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, the injury thing really scares me. I like his personality. He was pretty funny and kind of quirky on the press conference after. Yeah. You know, I like the guy. I think he's going to fit in really well here. I think he's going to gel well with some of the guys that we have on the offensive line. And you know, think about it, last year, the offensive line was extremely banged up the whole time. They needed guys who were able to kind of fit at different positions and step in wherever they could when necessary. So that's the logic behind it, the philosophy behind it, I'm totally, totally, totally on board with. I don't know if I would have done it right there because, again, there were other positions I think that are more of a need than a versatile offensive lineman. I understand that, like, Jason Kelsey might retire soon and, you know, Lane Johnson was really hurt last year and is getting older. Like, I understand. I get it. I'm there. But it also just, I mean, the kid started at Florida State as a true freshman at right guard, one position. He was the first, I thought this was interesting, the first true freshman to start on the offensive line since 1982 for Florida State.
Wow.
He's that good.
Trey Thomas didn't even do that.
Right. So he's that good.
Mm-hmm.
But he tore his ACL and then missed the rest of the season after, you know, starting there. The next year, he missed most of the season with an ankle injury after starting 4 games at left guard. And then in 2018, he started 1 game at right tackle before another ankle injury ended the season. Then he started 13 games in 2019, second team All-SEC in his first season with Alabama. But with that, he started 4 games at right guard and 9 games at center. So still can literally play every position. And then in 2020, he played in 11 games. He won the trophy for being the nation's best center. Alabama offensive line was number one, but he tore his other ACL and he just had surgery. So he's also coming off of surgery right now.
Yeah. And well, that was one thing I saw too. He might not be ready for the beginning of the season. So for people that are like, oh, somebody that's going to be ready day one,
no,
he might not be. He got hurt in December.
Right.
So
that's the thing. Like, I really, where the Eagles are right now, they needed to, I feel like in rounds 1 through 3, because of how high up they have picks, they needed 2, maybe 3 day one starters.
I agree. And my biggest thing, we talked about it as we were introducing this. I would have went with Asante Samuel Jr. just for the fact that in my mind, you have Darius Slay back there, lockdown corner, but you literally have nothing else around him. You have a good line, so they're going to put pressure on the opposing quarterback. He's going to release it to the opposite side of Slay, and that means nothing because it's going to be a completion almost every time because who's over that? You know what I mean?
Right, and if you do something as simple as just a quick screen pass, get the ball out early. Yeah. If the defensive line doesn't have time to get home, you're screwed.
I think, and that's why I would have went with Samuel as well, is because we have a complete lack of linebackers. So I'm okay with waiting a little bit to get a linebacker that's a solid one, maybe in like the fifth or sixth round.
Sure.
But they definitely need, in my eyes, to get a true veteran like presence there in the linebacker field this offseason.
Yeah.
So we'll see that. But that's why I would have went with the corner, just because you would have had that combo cornerback that we haven't had since Asante Samuel Sr. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It would have been something that definitely would have been my go-to because, again, like, this is a great pick if he stays healthy. And I think it also shows, too, I mean, freaking Saban. He obviously saw his greatness and his upside as well.
Yeah.
And seeing his injury history, and he was like, you know what? He's still so great. Let's bring him on. Went to Alabama and still had back-to-back injuries.
Yeah.
He has not had one healthy season.
Yeah.
And that's not even looking back to high school.
No, it's just college. And he played all through college. He played 5 years. And I totally am with you. Like, I you know, draft a lineman from Bama, sign me up. You know what I mean? Like, two players from Alabama, sign me up. Like, heck
not
yeah.
The most injured guy on the roster.
I'm like, bro, come on. Like, it's like, you know, who Ed, the guy from Sports Illustrated, Ed Kratzy, he said something like, he asked Howie why he doesn't draft players from Alabama, and then literally lived like rent-free in Howie's head, because Howie brought that up during the presser, and he took Devontae Smith, and then I feel like he took a player from Alabama, but I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like, again, I want him to be, I'm not upset that he's an Eagle, I want him to be great. I just, the injury thing really scares me. And with Asante Samuel Jr., who might honestly be better than his dad,
yeah,
still there. I don't know. I was really disappointed in that decision. And, you know, I think.
Wasn't the worst in the world.
No,
but it's definitely disappointing because they let up something that really could have helped our team for a big if.
I thought there was a better option.
Yeah.
What they did.
Well, and just like, it's not even like, if Dickerson's healthy, yeah, he's going to be great. Like, I mean, he wouldn't have even been there if he was healthy. That was what everybody was saying. So yeah, it's a great pickup in that fact, but not for this team, even if he were healthy. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's not where we need the immediate address right now. And I do like you said, I like the thought that like, maybe he'll learn from Kelsey. Maybe he'll learn from Lane. Like, I like that.
Yeah.
But it's not the immediate need.
Right. It's not the immediate need right now, and the Eagles' secondary, I mean, we saw it last year when they had injuries, and they, you know, we talked about it. Why is Fletcher Cox not showing up? Why is his defensive line not getting home? Well, they have nothing behind them, so if the quarterback's just getting the ball out quickly.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Which moves us to the next pick.
Which moves us to the next pick. So they started the third round by trading 70 to the Panthers for 73 and another sixth-round pick, because who doesn't need 4 6-round picks? Milton Williams.
Quantity over quality.
Yeah. Milton Williams, defensive tackle out of Louisiana Tech. Now, said to be better than Gerald McCoy when he was coming out. Last season, he had 10 starts, 44 tackles, 10 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks. a little bit undersized for a tackle. So he's a little bit, I think, caught in between positions in the NFL a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, is he an end? Is he a tackle? But uses his hands well, so the size thing might not be as much of an issue. My thoughts, again, the defensive line is going to be insane. Absolutely nasty. The Eagles tend to overinvest in this defensive line, in my opinion, though.
Yes.
Sometimes neglect the obvious issues like linebacker and like corner. The D-line will be great. Thoughts and prayers to the rest of the defense, honestly.
I know, and that's what's so frustrating about it. This was my biggest of the night. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? Like, it's so frustrating to me because this guy is so undersized. There's no way he's a year one player. Mm-hmm. But we took him in the fourth when we had so many areas of need that we've already even talked about that we would have addressed in the second round. You know what I mean? Like, or yeah, so I said in the fourth and the third. But it's just, it's so frustrating in the fact that there's those areas that we've been begging for and needing and needing and needing. And like, it's almost like they don't understand. Like, yeah, you did great when you got Darius Slay. Do you not understand that one corner cannot save that secondary? Like, even if Darius, I mean, we saw it before. He was an all-star, all-pro corner and came here, and he couldn't do anything because they just wouldn't target him.
Right.
He has no control in that fact. So it's so frustrating. And one of the things I wanted to bring up about Milton Williams is the fact that I brought up, because he did have a great combine, and that's what everybody was talking about, is how great of an athlete he is. And looking at his one of the charts from his combine, it rates him in everything. And in all his speed and agility, jumps, everything, he's like a 90 or higher rating because he's that good of an athlete. Mm-hmm. But what concerns me, you go to height, he's in the 50th percentile. You go to weight, he's in 6th percentile. Wingspan, he's in 35. Arm length, he's in 6. Height or hand size, he's in 38. Like, the things you can't teach, I mean, obviously weight, you can try to whatever. But the other things, you cannot teach that. Mm-mm. So where do they expect these numbers to improve in when you can't teach height, wingspan, all that?
Yeah.
It's just...
It's really unfortunate because it's like the joke that we keep making is like, you know, oh, the Eagles are in the, you know, top 10 for all these picks. And what are they going to do? Probably draft a, you know, project offensive lineman and a, you know, a project defensive line. Like, that's the joke. You know what I mean? I can't tell you how many times I've said that just trying to mentally prepare myself for this crap they screwed up. And it just develops right in front of me. And I know that, and again, am I mad that he's an Eagle? No. But why there when you have so many other needs to address? And I think that we talked about this earlier today, you and I, and it's what's circulating around the internet right now. There's a very clear video of Howie being like, hey guys, look what I did. Hey guys, look what I did. Hey guys, look what I did. And Andy Weidel and Tom Donahoe, and the senior scout advisor, both clearly like, cool, bro. Like, awesome, made that decision. It's not the right one. Like, you see that that Howie and Jeff are on one page and no one else is in agreement. And that's what is, you know, we've been talking about, that's what everyone's been saying. And that's where the frustration comes in, because it seems like Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie are just doing whatever they want to do and not listening to anybody else. And it's their way or the highway. And what's happening is this team is just getting screwed by it. And it sucks because as fans, we didn't choose to be here. We were born into this. Like, we were born into this mess as Eagles fans. And it's just so painful. And honestly, that video, the senior scout advisor is exactly how I feel.
Exactly. And that's, like you said, it's just so frustrating because it's so telling. And it's not even shocking because it just is over and over and over again. And I don't know, because like, now you just try to think about it and you're like, okay, so they do have, I think it's like 7 or 8 picks left between the fourth, fifth.
Yeah, they have 8.
Yeah, okay. So I was trying to count in my head. Yeah, so 8 picks.
Yep.
And it's just like, you can't even predict what they're going to do because it's so many picks that you kind of want to believe and hopefully like they'll use some of that to gain leverage for next year's draft and like give some of those away to teams that actually truly need them. So you want to like think they'll do that. But at the same time, you're also like, okay, so now you really just need to use those picks and stock up on corners and linebackers and hope that one of those ends up panning out to big NFL talent. You know what I mean? So like you can't even predict what's going to happen with all of that coming up today.
Yeah. And you hope that with this new coaching staff, maybe the development of talent is a little bit better. You hope to see guys like a Jalen Reagor take a step forward and some other guys in there that, you know, maybe we were a little frustrated with, and maybe they were a little frustrated with the voice in the room. I mean, who knows at this point? So I think, you know, I still think this is a, you know, 5-7 win team, and that's only because other teams in the division are not great, and they'll still be playing a last place schedule. But I just think that in terms of what they could have done, I don't want to say that they missed, but I don't know if they made the best decision given where the team is right now for them to truly improve. And now, right now, where the offensive talent is in terms of weapons, like Jalen Hurts is 22. You know what I mean? Like Jalen Hurts is 22. Yeah. John Smith is 22 or 23. Like they're all kind of around that age. There's a lot. Miles Sanders is young. Like they've got a lot of young talent that they can really build with on this offense, which is exciting. And then obviously the next step is making sure the offensive line is shored up, especially, you know, depending on what happens with Jason Kelsey, mm-hmm. Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, like the older guys on the line. So I think like I'm good to go on the offensive side of the ball right now. Like I'm excited.
Yeah,
to
I have faith
see
in
what
them.
They can do. But I mean, I'm not of the mentality that I want to see, you know, 50-48.
That's what I was just thinking. So, yeah, cool, we'll put up points, but there's nothing stopping the other team from putting up points.
Quite literally nothing. I go out there and do a better job of stopping the other team from putting up points.
It's to the point where the other team could be on the 2 line going into the end zone, like 2-yard line, and they'll still score, and it won't be from getting through our defensive line because they're going to be stacked and they'll hold them. They're going to do a little pass to the back of the end zone, and nobody's going to be able to stop it.
Yeah, no one's envisioning already.
It's so frustrating.
It's going to be a little brutal. This defense really makes me nervous.
Hopefully they don't have money.
They don't have money, so I don't know what their plan is. You know what
I know,
mean?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, ideally, I told you already, I want that true veteran linebacker to come in and, like, be able to do something. But, yeah, you're right. We have no money.
They have no money. And who in their right mind, based on the offseason that they've had in the last year, who in their right mind is signing up to willingly come here?
Right.
I wouldn't want to deal with that. After everything that's come out about how awful of a person, like the front Howie Roseman and
can't trust him.
Why would I sign up for that? Why would I willingly sign up for that? And they don't have money to give. That doesn't make sense. No. But going into today, the Eagles have a 4th, a 5th, 4 6th-round picks, 2 7th-round picks. We hope they do something with them.
Knock up.
Yeah, that turns into something positive or, you know, anything. I need them to draft a couple corners in there. Honestly, I hope they take 4 corners in the 6th round. I don't know.
Right.
They need to do something because what they've got right now is not it. But that is our episode for today. Nice day 2 recap. It's good. It's bad. It's all of the above. But that's what you get with the Philadelphia Eagles. So. Thank you for listening to episode 62 of Babes on Broad. Thank you, as always, to SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Now that football is kind of back in the swing and things are starting again, you'll be hearing from us more often. Sixers play this week a lot. They're about to play, 5 games in 7 days? It's absolutely outrageous to try to close out the season and get the 1 seed. So go Sixers. The Flyers are not good. The Phillies almost fought the Mets last night. That was exciting. Bench is cleared. Love that. But thank you again for listening to our episode. We are the Babes on Broad on BGN Radio.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.